Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. I hope you enjoyed the Memorial Day long weekend, not just for the opportunity to get together with family and friends, but also to remember those who fell while serving. Now back to the much less serious stuff we're going to discuss today, fantasy baseball. And with the cast of characters we've got on today's show, you'll see how serious we are about not being serious. First off, Jay Wrong will join us to see how his bold predictions from the preseason are looking. There's a lot of jokes there about Jay's inability to make predictions, especially when it comes to women, career choices, when enough shots of Jägermeister are enough. You get the idea. Speaking of Jägermeister, how do we not have a European herb and spice-based digestive sponsor on this show? Seriously, Kyle, get the guys from Fernet on the phone. Ooh, special guest alert. The holiday Monday means Sky from Razzball is off from his day job at Biff's Blow-Up Doll Emporium, so we'll get to shoot the breeze with him. By the way, Sky wanted you to know this month's special over at Biff's is a brunette named Nancy. If you order right now, he'll throw in Biff's Brazilian Build-Up Waxing Kit for free. Fun! And JB will come on over to brag about his Annabelle Sanchez call on last Friday night's Play with Rudy from Razzball contest at DraftKings. All that plus Gray Albright and no Rudy Gamble. Rudy got messing around with Biff's Brazilian build-up kit this weekend. He's in the hospital as we speak, so our thoughts are with him, and we hope he makes a full recovery. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of May 27th. Here we go. Jay Wrong, how are you?
I'm doing great. But you know what, Nick? I looked at the schedule and I saw that we're idiots and now you and Sky are geniuses. I don't know how I feel about that. I think we're doing it wrong here.
The last time you and I talked, I told you any segment that you and I are on has to be called We're Idiots. And you know what? You kind of gave away a bit of a teaser. Sky will be joining us in the next segment, hopefully, now that I've said that, of course, Murphy's Law. But having him on, it kind of seems fitting. We're idiots with you. We're geniuses with him, you know?
Yeah, but that means that he's changing the dynamic all himself. I don't know if he's that good. I mean, he's good, but he's not Jay good. You know what I'm saying?
But Jay, how many shots of Jägermeister did you have this weekend?
I had about 7, but the thing is, you know, once you pass the 5 mark, you really stop counting, so I'm kind of guesstimating.
All right, well, don't forget, we're still looking for a European herb and spice-based digestive sponsor, okay? So they're in the running. My vote's for Fernet.
All right.
Okay, listen, let's get right to it, Jay, because I want to go through your bold predictions. And the reason why we're discussing this again, I know we brought it up a few weeks ago, you're actually on point on a lot of these. So let me bang through these. I'm going to give you some actual numbers and your prediction. I'll let you talk a little bit, I suppose. So the first one is, you said Harper was going to go 40-25. He's on pace for 48-8 right now. I'm going to give you that one because I think the steals will come.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit worried about his swollen knee from, he's just out there face playing the wall, you know, so I am a little worried about that. But I always knew the power was going to be there. And I think when I saw the projections of him being 25 home runs, it just didn't feel right. I think a young player with that much power, you know, you'll really see a jump. And we're seeing that now. So I think he'll come in close to 40. I'm not sure if he'll land exactly at like 45, if it's something enormous like that, but I think 40 is a good place to be.
Just so you know, I'm giving you 10% either way on any of these. The next one was Cano was going to hit under 275. We won't discuss that. We'll just chalk it up as a loss because he's killing it. Yu Darvish could win the Triple Crown, and that could happen. He is currently leading the league in strikeouts. His whip is under one. I think it's 0.87 as we speak, and his ERA is very low. You got a shot at that one, so right now I'm putting that in the win column for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's on pace to, I think, eclipse 300 Ks. I'm not sure if he quite gets there, but, man, he's just looked dominant from the start of the season. I am a little bit concerned about Ron Washington. I mean, who isn't with what he usually does? But the pitch count worries me a little bit. Darvish says he can handle it, but what else is he supposed to say, honestly? So.
Yeah, he's a horse. We'll see. Everett Cabrera, who I have on every team, you said he might swipe 70 bags. He's on pace for 78. Plus, he might hit 15 jacks and drive in 80 runs, too. We might be talking about Everett Cabrera as a third rounder next year.
Yeah, he's just been completely amazing. And for Gray's sake, I should add that I said 70-plus. So I want to make sure that we know that it'll be above 70.
All right, fair enough. The next one you had was Ivan Nova would outperform Dan Heron. They're both terrible so far. I'm chalking that one up as a tie. Fair?
Yeah, fair. I think Nova has a long ways to go, though, because he's been injured and Heron hasn't. So we'll see. I mean, Heron looks like he's pitching injured, but he's still putting in the innings. But yeah, they both kind of suck.
Hey, Jay, don't pander here, okay? I'm already going heavily on your side in this segment, okay?
That's fine.
Okay, Jared Weaver, ERA over 4.5. He's at 4.9 as we speak and injured, so I'm chalking that one up. Matt Wieters, 30-plus homers. He's on pace for 28.
Yeah, he's going to come in close. I mean, he's basically having the same year he had last year, but I think he's going to get close to that, so we'll see. It's something to keep an eye on.
I'm chalking that one up for you, at least for the moment. Will Venable could go 20-40. He's on pace for 28-34.
Yeah, I love this one because I was a huge Venable fan. I mean, all you have to do is look at the stat page on Desmond Jennings and look where he was drafted compared to Venable, and then you'll understand where I'm coming from.
Another one in your favor is you have Jeff Samardzija, better ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts than Verlander. And again, you're currently leading in all three of those categories.
Yeah, you know, the thing, you know, when I looked over these, Nick, I really thought at the beginning of the year I was going bold, but a lot of these, I didn't even realize I was so close on all of them. And with Verlander, he's helped me out a little the last couple of weeks because he's had a little bad luck. I think it's BABIP-driven, so all the Verlander owners, I wouldn't jump ship, obviously. I think he's going to be fine. But with Samardzija, always pick the guy from the NL in a case like this, and I think he keeps it up. So.
Yeah, but the Detroit Tigers play in the fourth NL division, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. But they are better. I think that division is better than it's given credit for, especially this year. And Detroit's a very good team. I think they're going to show a really good year this year. So.
Absolutely. Next up, you said that Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, and Colby Rasmus would combine for more home runs than the San Francisco Giants. And currently it's Blue Jays 31, Giants 39. So that one for the moment is in the loss column. But none of those three hitters have really put it together yet for Toronto. So that could still happen.
Yeah, it's still close. And the Giants are, I think, 25th out of 30th out of teams with home runs. So they're on the cusp of being irrelevant in the home run sector. I mean, I think the Marlins and the Astros are behind them. So, you know, it's still pretty poor showing on their part.
Okay, and then the last prediction you had, this one is also a tie. You said Yonder Alonso was going to have more home runs than Adrian Gonzalez. They both currently have 6. So by my tally here, J-Rong, you have 7 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties, at least for the moment. And again, I'm giving you a couple of those because they're very close, but... And you're also second in the Razzball Writers League as we speak. So we might really have to change this segment to Weird Geniuses, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think my inappropriate love for R.A. Dickey and my hatred, my somehow stubborn hatred of Paul Goldschmidt really evens things out for me. So.
All right, fair enough. Hey, don't give away any spoilers here, but did you see Star Trek yet?
Yes, I did. I did. I got second-degree burns from all the lens flares I saw. And I enjoyed it thoroughly, but, you know, when it comes to Star Trek, I'm an old-school fan, but I'm more accepting than usual fans of what J.J. Abrams has done. Because for me, growing the community is the most important, because I usually say the worst thing that ever happened to Star Trek were its own fans. So that's where I lay out.
All right, that's interesting. I won't go there. But speaking of growing communities, you can follow us on Twitter. He is at JRong. I am at Nick Capozzi. Jay, thank you so much. We'll keep checking back on these bold predictions all season long.
Sounds great, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Weird Geniuses.
Thank goodness for the federal holiday in the United States, because that allows our next guest, Sky, to join us. Sky, usually you're hard at work at the Blow Up Doll Emporium when we tape this podcast, so we're very happy to have you on today.
It's no problem. I take my job seriously, so I'm just glad to have a day off.
Absolutely. So let's get right into some serious baseball talk here. You wanted to talk about Francisco Liriano. He's one of those guys I don't even look at anymore because It's not worth the headache. But you tell me why Francisco Liriano might be interesting.
You know, I completely understand. You know, I've been there. I've traded for him. I actually traded for him back in 2010 when he had that out-of-nowhere season of recovery. And then he's had two straight years of crap, so to speak, right after that. And I think a lot of that had to do with Minnesota. They were coaching him to pitch to contact. And when you're a career 9-plus K for 9 guy, you probably shouldn't be doing that. I really like the fact that Pittsburgh has turned around quite a few guys' pitching careers, and I'm not just talking about A.J. Burnett. They've done a good job with Wandy, and even with fluff like Jeff Locke and Yanmar Gomez, they're getting quality innings out, and I think Francisco Liriano is clearly talent-wise above those guys, and I can't see why you wouldn't want to treat him like a Cashner type. You know, you're looking at an SP5 who could easily become much more than that.
Sky, when I hear you talk and you're so engaged discussing the fantasy baseball, it makes me wonder why you're editing over at Fantasy Football. What's going on, Sky?
Gray, he's a smooth talker. He was just like, I need help. You know, and he's one of those guys, when he asks for help, you help him, you know, in whatever way, shape, or form, whether it's writing or combing and grooming his mustache, you know, you step up.
All right, who's the next guy you want to talk about? You wanted to discuss another Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yes, indeed I do. It's Pedro Alvarez. This man has been warmed over for the first 2 months, and despite the 10 home runs, he's hitting around 200. I don't see that lasting much longer. Last year, he had a similar issue to start the year, and he ended up with 18 home runs between June and August. And that's a 74-game stretch. If you span that out over a full season, that's a 37 home run pace. And in that time, he was also batting about .280. So for a three-month stretch, you're basically, you know, getting one of the better power hitters in the game. So if you can trade for him now on the buy low, do it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Sky. But some of these guys, it's like, you know, it's like a girlfriend that cheated on you, and now she's like, hey, but I'll take you back, you know?
Well, I'm not suggesting Ike Davis here.
I think I'd rather have Ike Davis because he hasn't burned me yet.
Well, yet. You haven't owned him two straight years like I have. So.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. Hey, let's talk about a pitcher with the Tigers who, you know, someone, and I want to be fair, but I can't remember. I read it online. Someone said Drew Smyly, who you're going to talk about, could be this year's Chris Medlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting. I picked up Smyly in a lot of leagues. He's pitched well as a middle reliever, but I'd like to hear your take on him.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent comparison. I do think Medlin clearly pitched over his head his skill set last year, which, you know, if you rode that all the way through to the championship, kudos to you. He's still doing good this year. But, yeah, no, that's a pretty apt one in the fact that you've got this reliever who wasn't a reliever last year. He pitched 18 starts last year, had a 3.79 ERA, a 1-2-1 whip, and a 3.38 K to base on ball ratio and an 8-plus K per 9. He's starter worthy, and that's something you can't really say about Rick Porcello. And, you know, even if you throw out that Angels monstrosity of a game, Porcello's numbers have been terrible. And in that very same game, Smyly came in and basically gave a quality start. He went 5 2/3, struck out 7, and gave up 0 runs to at least keep the Tigers, well, they were never within shouting distance in that game, but at least to keep them even and steady. So he's starter worthy, he's starter ready. It's just a matter of when the Detroit Tigers figure out Porcello is not.
Sky, you know what I love about having you on? We had Jay Wrong on earlier, and I told him a long time ago, whenever he comes on, we call the segment We're Idiots, because it's him and I, you know, bantering. When you're on this week, I decided to call it We're Geniuses. And Jay Wrong kind of took offense to that, but you come prepared. I mean, you've got stats, you've got good arguments. Jay's like, oh, look, I made a gif of a hot young Hollywood starlet, and she's jiggly.
Well, I like to think of Jay Wrong as the TMZ of of our Razzball site, which I appreciate. And I like to think of myself as Stats Inc., you know, but we make a great pair, you know. I mean, there's plenty of pairings of, you know, the Beauty and the Beast, so to speak. And, you know, he clearly brings the beauty.
Hey, let me ask you this, Sky. After a tough day of working at Biff's Blow Up Doll Emporium, when you head to the bar and have a, you know, because I imagine, too, that's a messy job. I'm sure cleaning up the changing rooms and stuff, I wouldn't want to work there. What's your shooter of choice post-work at the Emporium?
You know, after talking about cleaning up, I don't think the word shooter even comes to mind. Really don't appreciate that. But, yeah, I'll dive in on, you know, pretty much whatever alcohol's bottom shelf, because I'm cheap like that.
Hey, Kyle, why don't we have a bottom shelf liquor sponsor on the show?
I'm there to wash my mind.
You gotta make the bartender bend all the way over to get our ale.
And sometimes it's worth it, and sometimes you just want to look away.
Like, well, you better be going to the right bars, you know, so it's worth your time. By the way, you know where I went this weekend in Toronto? It's the first time I've ever been to the chain. I went to the Tilted Kilt. I'm just going to say this. They should sponsor this podcast because I would love to give away Tilted Kilt gift certificates to the Razzball masses. I'll leave it at that.
What is the? I'm already getting an inkling of what the Tilted Kilt is, but feed me more here on this.
Oh, you've never heard of it? It's one of the, I thought it was one, I think it actually is one of the biggest growing, actually, I think the unofficial term is breastaurants, chains in the U.S. It's kind of like Hooters meets, you know, Ye Old Irish Pub.
You know what? I like that already.
And so did I on Friday night.
I'm sure my wife would love to come along. It's clearly you're going there for the food.
I don't know how you have a wife while working at Biff's. Wrap me up here. You also wanted to discuss Adam Lind. I had to bring in all that other stuff because Adam Lind is, I mean, of all these guys, Adam Lind. But give me an argument pro Adam Lind.
Well, I'll give you two arguments. One, Jose Bautista. Two, Edwin Encarnacion. We have seen hitters figure it out in Toronto before where they seem to come out of nowhere, where they've had all the talent in the world and they never put it together until they got to Toronto. Lind already has under his belt a 30-plus home run season. But the big thing with him was for a power hitter, he had low walk rates and he just had major issues. This year, what I've seen so far, especially in the month of May, he's hit four home runs. And he's hitting well over 300. And I think he has about 13 doubles. Oh, yeah, 13 doubles so far. So couple that with a walk rate now at 14.8%, he's starting to do a lot of what the other power hitters in Toronto are doing, which is waiting on their pitch.
All right. You know what, Sky? Sky, I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't listen to a pro Adam Lind argument. I need to go to the Tilted Kilt and order the lowest bottle of liquor on the rail twice. Thanks for joining us today, Sky.
No problem, man. You have a good one.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. And now, again this week, I think this is going to become a regular thing. We have our DraftKings.com correspondent live in the field. We've got Mr. JB Gilpin. Of course, you can tweet him at JB Gilpin. JB, you know, you've kind of evolved into our DraftKings Daily Fantasy expert here over at Razzball.com.
Yeah, I love it. The daily leagues are great. As I say, every week you're stuck with a really crappy team. DraftKings, you can win that entry fee to your fantasy league back in just one day, just picking one good day of matchups.
So Friday night, I was at the Tilted Kilt in Toronto, and I kept getting tweets from you about Anibal Sanchez. And you know what? I wasn't really paying attention to you, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
You were right. You hit on him for Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. He blew that kilt right off you, that's for sure. Complete game, 12 strikeouts. Obviously, the one hit when it was broken up in the ninth by Maurer. Three walks that got him 50.9 points, which surprisingly is 2 points less than that 17 strikeout game he had a month ago, which just shows you that strikeouts are what you're really hoping for. Obviously, you need to have a good game and to pitch deep in the game, but if you get a ton of strikeouts, that's how you're going to get the most points.
Now, one of the players that looks really interesting this Friday night, Carl Crawford, is a $4,000 play at Coors Field.
Yeah, he's going to be my top outfielder pick. Obviously, I try to factor in park factors, and I also try to pick faster guys because you get extra points for triples. It's 5 points for a steal, which is actually, you know, a single's worth only 3 points. So you definitely want those speed guys that also have some power potential hitting there in cores. I have a feeling his price might be adjusted a little bit up, but it still should be a really affordable outfielder, and he's going to be one of my picks that I'll write about when the update comes out Wednesday afternoon.
Now, of course, we're talking daily fantasy, and if you haven't played yet, it's not only is it easy to sign up at DraftKings.com, but also every Friday night we run the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest over at DraftKings. You can go up against my man Rudy, and what happens is a couple days before, usually on Wednesdays, I believe, JB, you write the post with some of your sleepers. And again, because what you're doing is you have a budget for the day and you want to go and find the right guy. So if you're starting at $50,000, Carl Crawford at $4,000, great value going in Coors Field. Any pitchers you like this week so far? I know they haven't really set the starters yet, but I'm curious if you had a look.
Yeah, we're still 5 days out, so pitchers won't be announced for another couple of days. We'll definitely have a better idea on Wednesday when my article comes out. But right now, it's looking like Iwakuma should have his spot in the rotation coming up at Minnesota. I'm picking against the Twins again. All Twins fans probably hate me by now, but they hit their offense too. But Iwakuma looked really, really sharp against Texas. I watched a lot of that start yesterday. Like I said, matchup, great park, should be in kind of that middle tier of pitcher value. Won't cost you as much as a guy like Kershaw, who is probably going to start at Coors in that game that we just talked about. I like Iwakuma more.
All right, good stuff. JB, aside from the great daily contest going on every single day, also too, not just for baseball, you can get in on NBA or NHL playoffs. Are there any big tournaments coming up? I know we just had the Spring Fling, but what's the next big one coming up over at DraftKings?
The name is eluding me right now, but they've got another huge one coming up in a few months here. With the Play with Rudy contests, the top spot will enter into their huge, it's always a six figures contest. It's called the $100,000 Punch-Out. And then that's on June 14th. Entries usually cost $100, but you can win in one of our Play with Rudy contests, which only costs $5, and it's capped at 30 to 40 entries. So you have a really good shot to win, and we had a guy win $200, getting 54th in their last big one. So you can really turn in some big money through these Razzball contests.
Absolutely. And also, Rudy has not come close to winning these. He keeps bragging. He finishes in the top half, but come on, man. So not only can you go and kick his ass, but you can brag to your friends that you know more than Rudy Gamble, fantasy expert. JB, thanks for joining us today on the Daily Fantasy Report. We'll have you back on next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Nick.
The Razzball Podcast.
And now, one of the stars of our show, because again, Rudy's still in the hospital with the Brazilian wax incident. It's a pleasure to be joined by Gray Albright at Razzball. Gray, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Well, you tell me. What are you doing for the long weekend?
Let's see. Trying to convince Cougar to have a threesome? I heard Sky could help with that.
Well, Sky can help with the blow-up doll end of it.
Yeah. That's fine. That works for me. I bought a smoking jacket and a pipe, so I look cool afterwards. we're in Palm Springs at Mother Cougar's house.
How's the Mama Coug?
She's fine, I suppose. She's not here. That's why we're here. On Saturday, I went to Best Buy to set up the house with proper modern-day electronics like Apple TV and a computer monitor.
Okay.
Can I do my impersonation of a Best Buy salesman?
Sure.
Hey, so what's the difference between the Samsung monitor and the Sony monitor? Well, this one's $15 more.
Don't you realize, Gray, there's like 10 points of contact before you make a purchase this day, and it's usually all, you know, on the internet. You're supposed to go do the research yourself.
Yeah, I didn't get that memo. I'm like, so what does this cable do? Do I need it? Why is it in my shopping cart? Why am I in Best Buy on a fucking long weekend?
All right, listen, after a hard, long day of combing your mustache and rubbing the cougar's feet, what's your shooter choice? What are you doing? If you're going out to the bar?
I like European herb-based digestive. I was not fed that answer earlier. That is completely impromptu.
What can I tell you? We're looking for a sponsor.
And when I'm doing European herb-based digestives, I like to wear European skin-tight sweaters that make me itch.
Oh, beautiful. All right, let's get to a little bit of baseball here, Gray, while I have you on the phone. So over the weekend, I had a debate with a friend of mine. Who would you take today in a keeper league if it's starting today? Let's say you got the first overall pick. No restrictions. Mike Trout or Miguel Cabrera?
You didn't have any debate over the weekend. You're such a fucking liar. Oh, my God. Let's see. How did this debate go? Did you put on a powdered wig? Honorable sir, from the great country of Canada, do you or do you not take Miggy in your first pick?
No, we were at the, I've mentioned this a couple times now, but we were at the Tilted Kilt in Toronto. Have you ever been to a Tilted Kilt?
There's actually one real close to Mother Cougars. I have not been, but I saw it on Undercover Boss. It looked interesting.
It's very interesting.
All my information, all my resource material comes from reality shows.
I love Undercover Boss, actually.
The Undercover Boss, they had, there was men in dresses. So worst comes to worst, maybe we'll go there for the threesome.
Or we'll have our annual Razzball staff party at the Tilted Kilt in Palm Springs.
Exactly. All right, so if you have such terrible hypothetical problems as Miggy or Trout, let's see. As of 2 months ago, people were drafting Trout before Miggy in redraft leagues, so that really hasn't changed. Did Miggy suddenly gain 10 years? Did Trout suddenly get older? Has he been bad? No, not really. He's got 10-plus homers, 10-plus steals, a good average. Miggy hasn't been bad either. He's been great. Actually, he's got 14 homers, and he's on pace for 190 RBIs. So which one of those stats is really maintainable? Trout's power and speed or Miggy's RBIs? Which one of those stats relies on players to get on base? I'll make it even easier for you. Which one of those stats starts with an I and ends in an I and has a B in it? I love Miggy. I've said it.
So you would take Miguel Cabrera?
I would take Trout in a keeper. They're like one and two. Your Lamborghini or Ferrari, you can't go wrong.
Except the Ferrari has 50,000 less miles on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that was a debate, I think. It was more about the age.
I still like Miggy, though. I think he's great. Okay. I don't think he's going to get, the RBIs like he's getting right now every year. I mean, that's all a matter of who's on in front of him. But I think he came off of a Triple Crown season last year, and Trout was still drafted ahead of him in some leagues because Trout brings 40-plus steal speed, which Miggy doesn't have any of. So for fantasy, I think Trout and a keeper is a no-brainer for between him and Miggy. But they're like 1-2,
yeah.
1-2,
but
3.
Like you said, Ferrari or Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of players that have oft been debated this year, Chris Davis is still raking. Now, he just turned 27 this year in the spring. So is he a late bloomer who's arrived, or are you still skeptical?
I'm still skeptical. I think when a guy hits, last year he hit around 270 with around 335 balls into play. So, and this year he's hitting around 337, I think it is, with balls into play with a 378 average, or no, he's a three, excuse me, I got those backwards. He's got a 337 average this year. So he's hitting 60 points above his career average. He has cut his strikeout rate and raised his walk rate by a decent amount. So those two things are going in the right direction. I don't think he's a 330 hitter, though. He's got to have, right now he's hitting everything and it's going in for a hit or a homer. So he's got a bit of confidence with what pitches he's swinging at. So right now his walk rate is up and his K rate is down. If he starts hitting balls back up the middle and they're caught, maybe he starts going outside the strike zone. His strikeout rate goes up back to previous levels, and his average will drop again to the 270 range. Maybe he hits 280, 290 this year, 35 homers. It seems like he's headed for a great year. It depends on what you can get for him in a trade. I still am skeptical he's going to have his huge year, but it's possible at this point if he can maintain his walk rate and his K rate. So I would take a top rounder in a trade for him, but I wouldn't necessarily sell him low like he's going to completely bomb out.
That's great analysis. Actually, in fact, after having you and Sky on the podcast this week, man, I it's too much for me.
Yeah, we did. We've managed to stump Nick, huh?
Yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah, exactly.
You seem unstumpable.
I have my moments. Hey, speaking of Orioles, in the last podcast of 2012, so the last show we did last season, you, myself, and Rudy did a mock draft, if you recall. And you took, if I'm not mistaken, Adam Jones, 10th overall, and I think you heard it from Rudy and myself.
Wow.
Where are you taking him today?
Yeah. Let's see. Adam Jones today? I don't know. You're not the only one. You and Rudy aren't the only ones that mocked
But me.
I put him in the top 12 or something for preseason this year.
Yes, you did.
So let's break it down. You have a guy who can hit 30 homers, right? Let's put that somewhere in the unstumpable Nick brain, all right?
Okay.
You got to put it on the right side. This way okay. We can keep track. Let's keep it organized so we know where everything is.
All right.
Then you have a guy who can also steal 20 bases. Put yep. that somewhere else. Put it on the left side. Then
right.
you have a guy who could get 100 runs.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the front area. 100 RBIs, put in the back lobe. And then for your medulla oblongata, let's say we'll put it all together. All right? So we have 100 runs, 30 homers, 100 RBIs, decent average, and 20 steals. Where are you drafting that? Where are you drafting a 30-20, 100-100, decent average guy?
You know what? I might even take him over Cargo just because he's healthier. So in my mind, he's right at the number 10 spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand the backlash in the preseason when I ranked him so high either. He's a 30 homer, 20 steal guy with excellent counting stats. That's a top 15 guy no matter what league you're in.
Okay, great. Let me teach you how to play this. I lobbed you a softball. This was supposed to be like, yeah, no, you know, I was right. It's your chance to be, you know, casual and modest about it, but be like, yeah, that's right. I called it.
Yeah. I broke it down for you rather than just telling you I called it. I'm modest in my immodesty.
Let me ask you a question. Has A.J. Burnett actually become a consistent pitcher?
A.J. Burnett. All right. Get ready for this. Yu Darvish has 91 Ks, leading the major leagues. Guess who's second?
A.J. Burnett.
No, not Derek Holland. A.J. fucking Burnett. Apricot juice. Can you believe that shit? I blew your mind right there. I blew your mind that used to be storing Adam Jones' stats. I blew it. Yeah. No, I think A.J. Burnett, he announced that he was going to probably retire after this year and... I don't know. Maybe he's settling down for his swan song. His K rate has been fantastic. I don't necessarily put him in number one starter tier, but he's definitely someone who's you lucked into a nice little you won like the pick three in Jersey, which pays out like $400. You won that in your draft if you got AJ Burnett.
Who's going to be the closer in Cleveland now that Chris Perez is on the disabled list with shoulder issues?
Tito Francona says Vinny Pastano. He might be just going because he's a fellow WAP. I'm not exactly sure because Vinny has been egregious so far this year. He's got, I think, a 5-plus ERA. Joe Smith and even Cody Allen have been much better and make much more sense to be the closer, but... As of right now, Francona's saying he's going with Pastano.
So I went, you know, after Perez got put on the DL, I'm in five leagues. I looked for Joe Smith everywhere, for Allen, even Brett Myers. Nobody. All gone.
Yeah. I tried to do the same in the RCL. Rudy got Joe Smith before me, and then someone else got Pastano as late as today because it looked like Joe Smith was a no-brainer for the job. It seems like I wouldn't be surprised if by this time next week Joe Smith is the closer and Pastano's, you know, quote-unquote, trying to clear his head or get his velocity back or some nonsense.
Hey, so I have a theory, Gray.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Is this the earth is flat? Because I got to tell you.
So I tallied Jay Rong's bold predictions from his preseason post. And as of right now, he's on pace to fit. And they were bold predictions.
They were bold.
He's on pace to finish with 7 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties. He's also second in the Razzball Writers League. I'm wondering, did you ever head out to D.C. about 21 years ago and hook up with a young D.C. Cougar?
Was the last name wrong? Actually, he would have had my name. I would have insisted Miss Wrong took Albright.
Or just hyphenated, Wrong Albright.
Albright Wrong. Wait, what?
Okay, I got another question for you. Since you're in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
You're dating a cougar or engaged to a cougar who lost the ring.
Yeah.
You're staying at Mama Cougar's.
Yeah.
And you're in arguably one of the highest densely populated cougar areas of the country in Palm Springs.
That's why I brought her here, make her look younger.
How do you keep it in your pants?
It's tough. The blue hairs are out in full force out here.
They're just enjoying the long weekend. Sun tanning with SPF 120
on.
They are
tanning. Sometimes they ask me to hold up their breasts so they can tan underneath them.
It's a tough life, eh, Gray?
It is. But someone's got to do it.
Well, listen, I don't want to keep you from rubbing down the Q-tips, white hair and white shoes. So we'll let you enjoy the rest of the long weekend in the U.S. Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Albright.
All right. Sounds good, man. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you soon.
It's a Razzball podcast.